inoculate you against the ignorant horde.
You're welcome. Glad to do it. I'm Steve Gruber. God bless America. It's the Steve Gruber Show for Friday, January the 17th, 2020. Good to have you here. Three big things you need to know right now. Number three, a California woman defied the odds and survived being buried in her car under several feet of snow for almost a week. Yep. Climate change, it can be rough if you get under a few feet of it. Be careful. Number two, Nasty Nancy, I'll get that out, tap dancing on a razor blade right now, and America is growing more irritated by the day with her antics of the whole impeachment fiasco. And number one, the big breaking news from yesterday includes an indicted Ukrainian criminal accusing President Trump and Attorney General of bad behavior. But they both find the charges laughable. Then the GAO accused Trump of breaking the law. Another swing. Another miss as they continue to flail around with these bombshell reports. Bombshell reports. And you know what? I could mess with all of that. But I found something far more entertaining to deal with today. All right? So we'll get to Trump. We'll get to Bill Barr. That's fine. We'll talk about it. But something more entertaining. First of all, just 17 days now. 17 days now until they cast ballots in Iowa. Which, by the way, there could be two or three winners in Iowa this year. I'm not kidding you. And 290 days as of today until Election Day 2020. Now, when they start the impeachment trial, now they went through all the pomp and circumstance yesterday of, you know, Chief Justice John Roberts coming in and swearing in the Senate and the oath and all the nonsense, all this archaic ritualistic nonsense. They did all that yesterday, but the trial actually starts on Tuesday, where more nonsense will ensue. Make no mistake, it'll be a lot of nonsense then as well. And so that's going to happen. By the time you get to Tuesday, it'll be just 13 days out from the Iowa caucuses. Amy Klobuchar, Bernie Sanders, Elizabeth Warren, and Michael Bennett, the four senators that are still in the race. Michael Bennett, I realize you don't know who he is. Nobody does. But the other three have been on the news a little bit. You should know who they are. They'll all be in Washington. They'll be off the campaign trail. So Mayor Pete and Joe Biden will be out there competing for votes in Iowa. So we're going to start with Joe Biden today. Joe Biden is always a treat and a pleasure. And if he runs for president, if he is the nominee, it's going to be a very entertaining summer and fall 2020 in politics. Make no mistake. It'll be good fun. Joe Biden gets the nod. It also looks like Beto O'Rourke is back in the mix, courtesy of old Uncle Joe. You see, asked about whether or not Beto O'Rourke could be a possible running mate, Joe said, yeah. You know, it's important to have a Latino in the mix. Joe, Beto's not Latino, so it's okay. Easy mistake to make with a lily white guy that looks like Beto O'Rourke. Sure, Joe, he's... Anyhow, I want you to hear this. It's bite number six with Joe Biden talking about Beto O'Rourke and how important it could be to have a Latino like him on the ticket as a running mate. Bite six, go.
If you are the nominee, will you consider either Beto O'Rourke or Julian Castro as a running mate?
Yes, I would. I consider either or both of them. But look, I've spoken to each of them and spent some time talking to them. My plea to both of them is that they stay engaged. They are talented, talented people. And there are a number of Latinos that have endorsed our former Secretary of Interior, a whole lot of people who are going to, I'm going to be, you can guarantee you that there's going to be Latinos in my cabinet. You guarantee there's going to be Latinos in my White House. And both of them are qualified.
Would you consider...
Both of them, both of those Latinos, including Robert O'Rourke, the Irish white fella from Texas. That Latino fella could be in my White House. Of course he could, Joe. By the way, have you checked your medicine today? You might want to look. Thanks, Joe. Greatly appreciate it. And now to the most entertaining thing that I have seen, honestly, in quite some time. Now that we have the audio, it's even more fun. You saw the little spat following the Democrat debate. You might have seen the little spat or seen a picture of Elizabeth Warren refusing to shake Bernie Sanders' hand. He came out to shake her hand. I'm not shaking your hand. And we all wondered, well, what's the problem here? We wanted to be a fly on the wall. Well, fly on the wall you are. Congratulations. We've got the audio. We've got the whole clip now. You can hear the love and what went on here. We'll play it a couple of times for you. It's bite number 8, the exchange between Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders right after the end of the debate in Des Moines, Iowa, a couple of days ago. Here it is, bite 8. Go.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get mailed, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
I think you called me a liar on national TV. That's right, I did. You got a problem with that, Warren? I don't care. I'm Bernie Sanders. I'm a communist, and you can shut up. Nice, Bernie. They're not going to do that now. All the bedside manner of a cat that's been having its tail rocked on by the rocking chair. One more time. I mean, this is tearing, by the way, the progressive left apart. They can't believe that weird Uncle Bernie and crazy Aunt Liz just aren't getting along. It's gut-wrenching. It's awful. It's heartbreaking. Certainly is breaking me all up, as you can tell. It's bite number 8. Go ahead. Do it again.
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
What?
I think you called me a liar on national TV.
Let's not do it right now. You want to have that discussion, we'll have that discussion. You called me. You told me. All right, let's not do it now.
I don't want to get mailed, but I just want to say hi, Bernie.
Yeah, good. Okay.
And then there's Tom Steyer. Hey, I just want to say hi, Bernie. How you doing, man? Doing good. I'm a billionaire, you know. I got lots of money. Yeah, Tom, we're aware of your money. At any rate, I think that's good. But that's the good stuff right there on a campaign. Those hot mic moments, gosh, aren't they good fun? They certainly are. Can be, anyway. Meanwhile, if you missed this, I'm going to play this for you one more time just because it's good fun. And that is Senator Martha McSally of Arizona. I'm having fun on a Friday. Senator Martha McSally of Arizona gets approached by Raju Manu from Chicken Noodle News in the halls of the Senate office building yesterday. And she says, I'm not going to talk to you. Boom. It goes into Sonny Perdue afterwards, but hear the first part, because her response to CNN and being brutally honest with Manu Raju, who is one of their, you know, big reporters. Listen to this. Bite 1. Go. Bite 1.
Senator McSally, should the Senate consider new evidence as part of the impeachment trial?
Man, you're a liberal hack. I'm not talking to you.
You're not going to comment, Senator?
You're a liberal hack.
Do you think the Senate should consider new evidence as part of the Senate trial that
Absolutely
has come out?
Absolutely not.
Why not?
Because that's not our job. The job is to respond to what we've been given in the case that was built by the House. They've given us 2 very weak articles of impeachment. Our job is to look at what they brought us and decide if that rises to the level of impeachment.
Ah, Sonny, nice answer. You're a liberal hack, Manu, and I'm not going to talk to you. That is a quality answer. Well done, Senator. I'd vote for you twice if I were a Democrat. Do that. It is 14 after on a Friday. It's the Steve Gruber Show. Don't go anywhere.
The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
Being a business owner is tough, but it's also rewarding. Hard work, dedication, a commitment to entrepreneurship have provided this state with a strong economy. I'm Jim Holcomb, Executive Vice President of the Michigan Chamber. Too many times state government will try to enact burdensome legislation and regulations that hurt businesses without listening to their concerns first. As a leading voice for business in Michigan, we make sure their voice is heard and their concerns are addressed. Listening, understanding, and advocating is how we provide solutions. Not only is this the right thing to do, but it's also the smart thing to do to keep Michigan's economy moving forward. At the Michigan Chamber, we will always stand up for business.
Join the Michigan Chamber of Commerce at michamber.com. The Michigan Chamber of Commerce, the most powerful voice for business in Michigan.
DTE believes that the energy we all use doesn't have to contribute to climate change. That's why within the next 10 years, we will triple renewables and cut carbon emissions in half. And now we're announcing a bold new goal. to reach net zero carbon emissions in electric generation by 2050. DTE has long been a leader in clean, affordable, reliable energy. And leaders don't just do what's easy, they do what's right. DTE.
At DTE, we're committed to using our energy to serve and transform communities, helping to create a brighter future for us all through projects like building parks, partnering with schools, job training programs, and volunteering our time to those in need. Because at DTE, we believe we have a responsibility to serve our customers and our communities. Learn more at dteimpact.com. DTE.